progressive voice of Minnesota. It's Brett and Hunter on your day before Election Day. You're fired up in there for Election Day, aren't you, Hunter?
Oh, I am.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
I just wanted to be here. I'm antsy.
Exactly. Yeah, well, for political guys like us, it's kind of like the day before Christmas, while for most people, it's like, get those stupid TV ads off the air. That's for the sane people out there. But you and I look forward to Election Day for probably different reasons than other people.
Mm-hmm. I'm really excited.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens tomorrow. We should have some early results, as I believe the polls in Indiana, man, they give you like no time to vote in Indiana. They close at, I believe, 7 o'clock or even 6 o'clock Eastern time, which should mean sometime during Norman Goldman show, we're probably going to be getting some early results from the East Coast, including Indiana, which isn't on the East Coast, but for whatever reason, they close their polls early. And I think at that point, we should have a pretty good idea of where the Senate is going to fall, because Joe Donnelly is the incumbent Democrat in Indiana. It's been rated as kind of a 50-50 toss-up slash slightly lean Democrat, as he has kind of a 2 or 3 point lead in most of the polls. But pretty much, if the Republicans do take out Joe Donnelly, then I think it's pretty much a guarantee that the Senate is going to stay in Republican hands. But if Donnelly ends up winning that race by, like, say, 5 or 6 percentage points, then the Senate might be in play for the Democrats. So that's going to be something to watch tonight. Or not tonight. Oh, my goodness. I already think it's election night. Tomorrow to watch once the polls close in Indiana. And I believe we're going to get some early results probably during the last hour of Norman show.
So you're saying, basically, to retake the Senate, if they're going to pull this off, step one is you got to hold that seat.
Yeah, yeah. And basically, the path is, I wasn't planning on talking about this right away, but we'll bring it up since we were kind of talking through who's covering what tomorrow, since it's you, me, and Eric in Election Central. Mm-hmm. Again, we go live at 7 o'clock with Matt McNeil. He's on until 9 o'clock. And then you, Eric, and me take over for 9 o'clock, and we go till who knows when. It could be 11 o'clock. It could be midnight. It could be 1 a.m. Gosh, I hope it's not 1 a.m. I think Matt still has the record. He says he was on till like 2 a.m. back in 2010. I don't think we're going to be on for that long. If it goes that long, we'll probably just toss our coverage to Democracy Now!, who, by the way, is also doing some election night coverage, which we may toss to occasionally tomorrow night once we get into the later hours, as they're having coverage, I believe, until 1 a.m. But getting back to what you were talking about, so your role tomorrow on election night, you're going to be focusing more on the state house races in Minnesota, and you have done an insane amount of research.
I almost have
memorized like who is running in every district. You have notes on everybody. You should like show your notebook to the box camera up there. Yeah,
they probably can't
read it, but you can see. Look at all that research he's done. That's just 2 pages. You've got like how many pages overall?
There's 10 pages of these that are completely full of just stats, things to look for. Last year's results, and fun facts for people.
Fun facts as well, yeah.
Those are the best to make it interesting for the broadcast.
It's like a mini state house atlas. Man, you're putting
some
of the other politicos around the state to shame with the amount of research you've done on that. So make sure you tune into that. Tomorrow night, Hunter is going to be providing results on the state house races. I'm mainly going to be focusing on more of the national races. I'm also going to watch some of the judicial races here in Minnesota, even though there's only really one to watch, which we'll get into a little bit later on. But that's kind of my focus is more on the national side. While Eric will be spending most of the night producing, he's going to be following the races that are probably going to wrap up within the first hour or two. That's the statewide races in Minnesota. That includes both Senate races, the governor's race, the AG race, and some of those congressional races as well. But my focus is more on the national side. Now, after my long-winded explanation of election night coverage, back to your original question of what could happen in the Senate. So right now we have a 51-49 margin for the Republicans. So Democrats need to take 2 seats to get the majority. If we take only 1 seat and it goes 50-50, Republicans still keep it because Mike Pence gets the tiebreaker as the vice president. That was the same deal when Obama was president, when if there was a 50-50 tie, if there had been, then it would have been Joe Biden who would get the tiebreaker vote. But basically, if you look at the Senate map, there are 4 seats that are in play for Democrats to possibly take, while there's upwards of about 8 seats that Republicans could possibly flip to Democrats. So It's definitely a map that is skewed towards the Republicans. But of the four seats that the Dems could possibly take, two are out west that we're probably not going to know about until later in the evening, and they're easily the two best chances that Democrats have to take over the Senate. That's in Arizona, where you have Kristen Cimino going against, she's the Democrat against, oh no, I'm blanking on the Republican's name running in Arizona. But that race is kind of moved into the slightly lean Democrat territory. It's been about a 2-point edge, I think, in most of the polls, according to Real Clear Politics and 538. So that one looks like their best chance to pick up. The other one is Nevada. That's between the Republican Dean Hiller and then the Democrat who's running in that seat. Oh, I'm blanking.
Jackie Rosen.
And that one I thought would be a much better chance for the Democrats to pick up, but I've been hearing on some different podcasts that I listen to that apparently Jackie Rosen hasn't been running that strong of a campaign. So that one has actually moved more into a toss-up, even to a slightly lean Republican, which is kind of disappointing.
So right now, both the Democrats have slight edges in those races, according to 538.
Really? They must have released some new polls then, because the recent ones
it's very, very close.
The recent ones I saw was that Nevada was actually moving into slightly leaning Republican territory, which you wouldn't think about since I believe that state went for Hillary Clinton in 2016, and you would think Heller would be pretty vulnerable. But anyways, those are the two best chances for Democrats to pick up. If they win both of those seats and pick up no other seats, they have to pretty much run the table and hold all of their other seats, including Claire McCaskill in Missouri, Heidi Heitkamp in North Dakota would also have to win, John Tester in Montana, Joe Donnelly in Indiana, Joe Manchin, everyone's favorite Democrat in West Virginia, would have to win, as well as Bill Nelson in Florida, who, by the way, was struggling earlier this summer but has started to pull away in that race. There are two other pickup opportunities for the Democrats, but the chances aren't quite as good, although Hunter's going to disagree with me on one of these. And the first one is Texas, where it's Ted Cruz defending against Beto O'Rourke. You're a believer in Beto mania, aren't you?
Yeah, my prediction is it's going to end up being 50-50, but Beto O'Rourke is going to win.
Oh, so it's going to be 50-50 even with O'Rourke winning is what
yes,
you're predicting.
Yes, even with him winning, they're still not going to get it. But I predict he's going to win. That's my scenario.
So you would be thinking then that the Democrats would lose another seat besides Heidi Heitkamp, where she's pretty much done already.
Mm-hmm. I just think one of those isn't going to work, but they're going to pull this one off in Texas.
Interesting, yeah, because I think 538 is having Cruz with like a 3 or 4 percentage point lead. So he's had a consistent lead, but it hasn't been real big. But you're thinking he's going to pull it out.
Beto O'Rourke just embodies that type of voter that doesn't show up in polls. So the fact that he is consistently this close in the polls, I think we're going to see him pull it off on election
day. Yeah. And that's a good point to bring up about polls that you said just a second ago, because when polls are wrong, whether it's in terms of being in favor of Republicans or Democrats, it's not because they're biased. It's more because they have the wrong sample of likely voters. Generally, they ask you if you've gotten these phone calls before. Did you vote in 2014? Did you vote in 2012? Did you vote in 2010? And so on and so on. And the more you say no, they're going to probably discount what your opinion is, because they're going to say, well, even though you're registered to vote, just because you haven't voted in two of the last three elections, we're probably not going to count your opinion because statistically you're not likely to show up. But as you're saying, maybe a lot of these people who didn't vote in Texas in 2014 and 2012 might show up to vote for Beto in 2018.
Yeah, because think of Texas. If you're a Democrat there, there's plenty of elections you have nothing to show up and vote for, and you're just discouraged in general. But to have someone who might pull this upset off against such an unpopular incumbent with Ted Cruz, that every Democrat in Texas is going to show up at this.
Yeah, and Republicans don't exactly like Ted Cruz either. I believe Mitch McConnell has had some choice words for him as well, but that's your prediction. I still think it's a tough hill to climb, but we shall see. Then the other one is Tennessee, the other Democrats' chance for pickup, although this one appears to be getting away. Phil Breedson, I don't know, is it Breedson or Breedson? He used to be the governor of Tennessee. He's running against a Republican. Earlier this summer, he was looking really good. He was having a pretty consistent 2 or 3 point lead, but now the Republican nominee has started to pull away, and it looks like she is probably going to knock off Breedson, which would make the hill tougher for the Dems to take the Senate, but never know, I guess, because I think you're right that Beto would probably have to pull things out in Texas for the Democrats to win that chamber, because it's not looking good in North Dakota, where Heidi Heitkamp is running. Although, according to Nate Silver at 538, she was also down by a fairly healthy amount of points in 2012, yet she still was able to pull out that race. So we shall see. That's more of my focus is on the national side coming up tomorrow, especially on the Senate. We'll also follow some House races as well, including some that have parallels to Minnesota races that are local here in our state. MinPost put out an interesting article. This is by Sam Brody, who is comparing some of the congressional districts in Minnesota to districts that are out east, where you can kind of get an idea as to what happens out east, what might could happen in Minnesota, I should say. They kind of compare districts and try to find comparables. So basically, let's go ahead and run down some of these. So the first one he starts off with is New Jersey's 7th Congressional District, which Sam says encompasses suburban and rural areas outside of New York City. He says it's pretty similar to the 2nd Congressional District in Minnesota. That's, of course, the Jason Lewis, Angie Craig district. He says both are affluent, at least 80% white, and lean Republican by roughly the same amount, according to Cook's Political Voter Index, which is pretty much even. I think the New Jersey district he's referring to went to Hillary by 1.5 points, while CD2 went to Trump by 1 point. But they're saying this one is very similar to CD2, even though, looking at the Cook Political Report, they're saying it's a lean for Angie Craig, but more of a toss-up on that New Jersey side. But since they are very similar districts, kind of watch what happens there, because if the Democrat over there, who is, let's find the name there, it is, well, Leonard Lance is the Republican, and he is running against a Democrat by the name of Comstock. So if Comstock is able to get the win for the Dems, then it's probably looking good for Angie Craig to win in CD2. CD3, they make another comparison. This is Virginia's 10th district, where it's another Republican running who is very, very vulnerable, since she's in a district that went by Hillary Clinton by 10 points, which is similar to CD3 here in Minnesota. That's the Dean Phillips versus Eric Paulson district. That was another one that went by about 10 percentage points by Clinton. They're saying watch that one as well, since those polls were close early, I should say. So if that one ends up going for the Democrats, probably a pretty good chance Dean Phillips is going to win as well. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Man, we had a busy phone day today earlier on the Matt McNeil Show. Love to have your calls as well. You're welcome to call us at 952-946-6205. Also, watch us on Facebook, or you can email us, comment@am950radio.com, comment@am950radio.com. Coming up next on AM950, I want to talk about gerrymandering. Of course, we've heard all sorts of stories about how gerrymandering has really favored Republicans in past elections due to the redistricting they drew in 2010. I actually have a theory about how gerrymandering could actually backfire during this election cycle due to kind of some simple math, which we'll talk about in just a few minutes here on AM 950. Havana, oh, na-na. Hey. Half of my heart is in Havana, oh, na-na.
Hey. Hey. He took me back to vacuum cleaner. You buy them, you break them, and then you throw them away, right? Well, if you're ready to break out of that vicious cycle, we have the answer. Never heard of A1 Vacuum? They've been around forever, offering better alternatives. So if you're ready to stop filling the landfill, give A1 Vacuum a shot. Located in Roseville and ready to show you something better. Find them at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316. Better yet, drop by.
It's just a few weeks before winter officially settles in. Is your home ready for the holidays? Now is the perfect time to get your entire home zero-resified by the cleaning heroes at Zero Res. Get 3 rooms clean starting at just $149. You can also get $50 off your air duct cleaning when you call 952-ZERO-RES, 952-ZERO-RES, or book online anytime at ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
I'm Connie Burek, co-host of Awakened Living Infusion radio show. Join Michelle Kitzmiller and I as we focus on all aspects of health, wellness, spirituality, and growth from a mind, body, spirit, emotion perspective. On the Awakened Living radio show, we will discuss stress, self-care, fear, happiness, beliefs, communication, joy, pain, trauma, and more. Join us for the Awakened Living Infusion radio show Saturdays at 10 a.m. Let us share with you ways to infuse vitality into life. Victor's 1959 Cafe in South Minneapolis is a locally owned and operated restaurant offering traditional Cuban food. Open for breakfast and lunch daily with dinner Tuesday through Saturday. For night shift workers, Victor's even has both a morning and evening happy hour, and Victor's now accepts dinner reservations too. Stop in and try some delicious, authentic Cuban cuisine like ropa vieja and seafood paella. Make your reservation and learn more at Victor's1959Cafe.com. Victor's 1959 Cafe, revolutionary Cuban cooking.
Find a wide selection of outdoor hearth products at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Whether you prefer wood or gas, Woodland Stoves has the fire to fit your home. Pizza aficionados know nothing matches masonry oven baking for capturing flavor and nutrition. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces can easily install one in your home or business. Enthusiasts use these ovens year-round for bread making, wood roasting, even grilling.
The mission and passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you. The way humans relate to fire is primordial. We have used fire to warm our bodies, cook our meals, and kindle our spirits. Our team has the know-how to do this in a clean-burning and environmentally smart way. Visit our store and experience the diversity. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin. See us online at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that fits and works for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary, products and services since 1977.
Got to play that tomorrow as well when you're hosting, don't I?
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. We'll have to throw that on election night as well when we do our special coverage. Although we do have our special election night theme as well. So something to look forward to, I guess. Special music. Well, anyways, 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Not surprised we're going to go down this road. We won't go to them just quite yet, but I know some people are going to say, don't look at the polls due to what happened in 2016. What's interesting when you go back to 2016, a lot of people like to say that it was a massive Republican year and the polls were massively wrong. In truth, they really weren't that far off. They pretty much called the national popular vote. I think they only missed that by about a half a percentage point. And while the New York Times and others were totally wrong when they said Hillary Clinton has a 97% chance of winning or whatever it was, I still go to 538. They only had Hillary as, I think, like a 75% chance of winning, which clearly showed that there was a path for Donald Trump to win. So again, going back to these polls, they really were not that far off. Donald Trump just had a very narrow path that he had to take to get victory, and he was able to get it. He narrowly won Wisconsin, he narrowly won Michigan, and he narrowly won Pennsylvania. If there were a few thousand votes in those three states that went the other way, we would probably be talking about how the polls pretty much were accurate in 2016. Because if you look at races around the country in state legislators, if you look at the congressional races, it was a pretty neutral year. In the federal house, the U.S. House, I should say, I think the Dems even picked up like 6 or 8 seats. So even though it was a supposed Republican red year, Democrats actually gained seats in the House and they even gained 2 seats in the Senate. Granted, they weren't very, very big gains, but Donald Trump did win the White House, which leads me to believe that it was a pretty neutral year. That wasn't some big red wave. It was more that Trump had a very narrow path to winning the election and he was able to take it. Give him credit. Good campaign strategy. So I don't buy the whole narrative that the polls were completely wrong. I think it's some of the aggregators that were more wrong when you had like the New York Times saying that Hillary had a 97% chance of winning. That I agree is completely wrong because Trump clearly did have a path in 2016, which a lot of aggregators like 538 and even Real Clear Politics were picking up. So at least my thoughts on that.
Yeah, I do. I agree with what you're saying. In the 2016, the polls were correct because Hillary Clinton did win the popular vote by 2%, which was about exactly what they were saying.
And I think the Real Clear aggregate was like 2.5%, so they were pretty close to calling that.
Yeah, but I do believe that polling in the present day is more susceptible to be off because of the change in landline phones and just how polls are conducted and how they predict. So there is truth to the poll could be off as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I would just encourage you, look at the raw polling data and use aggregators that actually have a history of being right, like 538 and RealClear. New York Times, for instance, did not do a good job with that when, again, they gave Hillary almost a 100% chance of winning. But
yeah, that was the poll that I watched go down the whole night and then realized, oh, she's not going to win.
Yeah.
From really, 98% to 50.
And really, the lesson should be in any presidential election. I don't think you ever are going to have a presidential election where someone should have more than an 80% chance of winning, simply because the country is so divided at this point, it's really never in the bag for anyone. But let's go to Randy in Coon Rapids because he wants to rebut and say, stop looking at the polls. Randy, why should I stop looking?
Well, I don't know, because they're just polls. And I know it's exciting because we're all into it and, oh, who's going this that way? Mm-hmm. And it's nerve-wracking. And, you know, I guess that nobody knows anything until it's all over with. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know how you guys are feeling. I'm feeling actually pretty good about the whole thing. I think, you know, me as a conservative, I'm kind of a – almost in a win-win situation.
A and win-win.
I'm thinking you guys are probably in a win very bad situation, so it's either going to be really good for you guys or going to be really bad.
I actually would agree with you completely there, because I think while the Dems certainly have a better chance of taking the House than losing it, I will admit there is a path, which we'll talk about in just a moment, where they could not win the House, and it would be... Yeah, a lot of people would be disappointed if that were to happen, but it is important to point out there is a path for that to actually happen.
We should have Randy call during the election night coverage. We should speak with Randy.
Oh, we're going to put Randy on the spot. Hey, we're going to be on till who knows when in the middle of the night, so you are welcome to call us there, Randy.
Well, what time are you guys going to be on? Because I know Matt McNeil is going to be on. I certainly wanted to listen to... to him, because I thought, boy, if it doesn't go his way, oh, that will be very good entertainment to listen to.
Yeah, he'll be on 7 to 9, and then we're on 9 onward for as long as it takes.
The old owning the libs hashtag, right?
Okay, I will certainly have to tune in and give you guys a call. And I mean, in a way, I'm feeling for you guys because, you know, the conservatives, for the most part, aren't supposed to win. That's just kind of how it has gone in history, so... We're sitting here going, well, if we win, that would be great. If we don't, I mean, that's kind of expected to be. And you guys are sitting more like, well, we are supposed to win. And if we don't, it's going to be absolutely devastating. So, yeah, it's going to be quite, you know, and normally when I go to polls on the midterm elections, it's like a ghost town. There's hardly anybody there. But I think this year things are going to be a little bit different.
Yeah, I will agree with you there, Randy, where it is going to be different, and thanks very much for the call, Randy. Always love hearing from you, I should say. I think he's right about the reaction from both sides, where if it is the Republicans that win, they'll of course be ecstatic, while people that are on the left side of the aisle going to be very unhappy, while on the other side, if the Democrats do well and the Republicans don't, well, Republicans will still at least have one branch of government. They're guaranteed to hold on to the presidency. Well, Democrats, if they end up losing, they could have nothing. I think it's kind of a similar dynamic that we saw in 2010 and 2014, where, you know, even though people on the left lost, they said, well, at least we still have Obama in the White House. And I think that's probably why you see the opposite party of the president usually do so well in midterm elections. And I think that kind of sums up Randy's thoughts right there unintentionally, where, you know, even if you have the presidency and you lose the midterms, well, you at least still have the executive office, which maybe kind of subtly, I don't want to say like unmotivates you to go out and vote, but you don't have that same enthusiasm if you're the opposition party.
Yeah, it's not as severe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think liberals certainly ran into that in 2014 and especially in 2010. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let's head over to Ruth in Maple Grove. Hi there, Ruth.
Hi. I just have kind of a snarky comment and maybe advice for people who are not voting for Democrats in this election. You better ask yourself if the R after the name stands for Republican or Russian.
You know, they're also the red color as well, aren't they? Isn't red supposed to be Russian? You know, remember the Red Scare in the 50s? There you go. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Ruth. I found that always interesting how in the political system in the U.S., it's the conservatives who are red and the liberals who are blue.
No, I too have made this observation and thought it was weird.
Because it's the exact opposite everywhere else in the world. Mm-hmm. It's the liberals who are red and the conservatives who are blue.
We are so backwards in so many things when it comes to politics for just weird reasons. Yeah.
Screw the metric system, right? Yeah, we do have that backwards. I have no idea why. The only theory I've been able to come up with is that Republican starts with the letter R and red also starts with the letter R. That's the only theory I could think of as to why conservatives are red and liberals are blue in this country as opposed to the other way around. 952-946-6205 if you have some thoughts. Let's move ahead to our buddy Gary in Minneapolis. Hi there, Gary.
Yeah, you know, you talk about Hillary's election, you know, the young people didn't show up as much as they thought, but I want to add something to that. You know, it's been commented that our election system rivals those of banana republics and even some dictator-type countries because of all the problems we have with our electoral system. We had at least two elections where one with the minority votes. No other country has that got the presidency with the Electoral College. And in recent times, in the old days, it happened too. And then we got all this voter suppression. I think in Hartman, I heard in 2016, in North Carolina, Ohio, Wisconsin, maybe Michigan, and Florida, they all had Republican Secretary of State, I think Republican governors, and the exit polls were different in those states than the actual vote. But in the states where they had Democrat Secretary of State, they were accurate. Hmm. And so I just wanted to mention that. So we really got to get a big turnout to win with the gerrymandering. And then what I really originally called was that a legislator told me quite a few years ago that our legislature, part of the reason it went conservative was Koch money is involved, big billionaire money, Koch network. And they got big Republican money. I don't know if it's outside network or not, but Koch money probably involved in our legislative races in the state of Minnesota. And one thing, one election is very important to me. We got to get Tim Walz to win to protect the people in this state so we don't end up like them states like Wisconsin and Michigan and them.
Yeah. Thank you very much for the call, Gary. Oh, before you go, I was going to first up say, yeah, that's why Walz kind of has the slogan of don't be Wisconsin West. He's been using that against Jeff Johnson. But also, Gary, what is your joke of the day?
Well, I got one. I don't know if I should tell it. It's pretty off the wall. But
uh-oh,
I try
Hunter,
it?
Hunter's got the dump button ready. All right.
Did you hear that medical? I told this to a doctor, and I had her really going. I didn't tell her it was a joke. Did you hear a medical researcher just discovered that diarrhea is genetic?
No, I did not.
It runs in the genes.
Ah, there you go. Hey, we didn't need the dump button for that. Hey, Gary, good to hear from you.
Okay.
You were prepared, though.
I was.
Of course, we are on a six-second delay here on AM 950, so if you swear, we can dump you out.
Well, I've heard some Gary jokes that actually need to be dumped.
Yeah. Well, those are more blue state ball jokes, yeah. So that's where he'll tell the more adult-themed ones that we can't say on the airwaves. Although I guess on Facebook, we are free to pretty much say whatever we want since the FCC, at least not yet, doesn't govern Facebook. Who knows if it ever will, though. Let's go to one more call before the break. I've got Jim in St. Paul. Hey, Jim, I haven't heard from you in a while. What's been going on?
Well, my question is a really deep question, and it's this. Why in the Sam hell would anybody ever vote for the Republicans? All they do is lie. Their leader is the biggest immoral liar that's ever occupied the White House by far. They have done nothing for the average person, nothing, except make their life harder, take their medical away, work on disposing of Social Security, Medicare. I mean, these Republicans, there's no bottom they can't get under. They are so awful. And the people that back them are worse than the leaders. There is no sense in talking to some of these people, and when you try to talk facts to them, they give you a dumb smile back, because that nothing that's in their head is spinning at such a rate, they might lose an eye.
I would argue they more just say fake news at this point now. They don't even engage in anything. But hey, Jim, thanks so much for the call. Good to hear from you. Been a while since we've had Jim on the show. 952-946-6205. Still time for your calls on AM 950 on the other side of the break. And coming up as well, still want to talk about how gerrymandering could backfire tomorrow. Kind of an interesting thought and an interesting look at statistics about how gerrymandering could really end up going wrong for Republicans tomorrow. We'll talk about the next on AM 950. Are you gonna come
with your head? At Pride Institute, being LGBTQ+ is the norm, not the exception. Their highly trained and skilled staff understand your issues and will help you live a happy, healthy life as a proud LGBTQ+ person. They offer you hope to overcome your addiction and live the life you want. Their treatment programs are designed to assist you in developing the knowledge, skills, and attitudes for long-term recovery. Therapy groups include health education, LGBTQ issues, HIV and chronic illness, trauma, grief and loss, transgender support, nicotine recovery education, and sexual health. Pride Institute offers a residential treatment program, a partial hospitalization program that includes day programming with lodging, and an intensive outpatient program. If you or someone in your life can benefit from guidance and coping skills, life balance, and other tools necessary for long-term recovery, check them out at pride-institute.com or call 800-547-7433 now.
Hello, fellow AM 950 listeners. This is Jaja from Nightingale at 26 in Lindale. Come experience our delicious signature dishes and exciting rotation of inventive seasonal fare for my wife and chef, Carrie, and her team. Nightingale is the perfect place to gather for any occasion with our extensive wine, beer, and cocktail selection, along with our dedication to great service. We offer a full menu every day from 4 to 1 a.m., two award-winning daily happy hours, and weekend brunch at 10. More at nightingalempls.com.
Food nourishes us. We need food to live. But how are we nourishing the food system? Well, actually, we're throwing a bunch of chemicals and we're making the dirt dead, and then we're adding nitrates to the water and we're causing dead zones in the ocean. Oh, and we're also causing climate change. We do that with every bite we eat. But we can create something different. We can switch to a regenerative system. And that's what we talk about every week on Food Freedom Radio. So tune to Food Freedom Radio Saturdays at 8 a.m. or anytime via podcast. Food Freedom Radio on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hey, Ole, how's that bumper crop of soybeans working out?
Oh, cripes, not well, Sven. If only I had a patch of reefer to get by on.
Well, did you catch that Grassroots Party commercial quoting from our state constitution? Get this. Any person may sell or peddle the products of the farm or garden occupied and cultivated by him without obtaining a license therefor.
Oh, what does that mean?
Means you really should have planted some cannabis. You see, under the Controlled Substances Law, what's actually illegal is being in possession without a license. But if you're selling what you've cultivated, the Constitution says you don't need any license.
Does the governor know about this?
He sure will, if we vote Chris Wright and Duda Schwartzbacher in the governor's race. They've got Noah Johnson for Attorney General, too.
Boy, cannabis makes you cough, but politics makes you gag. This year, I'm gonna vote Wright for governor.
Paid for by the Grassroots Legalized Cannabis Party.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Tonight will be cloudy with a low around 35. Tomorrow we'll see rain with a high near 45. Tuesday cloudy with a high near 41. Wednesday mostly cloudy with a high near 37. And Thursday mostly cloudy with a high near 33. The Eat Local Minnesota Restaurant of the Week is Nightingale. The menu is comprised of snacks, bruschettas, and small plates designed for sharing, but is sure to satisfy your appetite. Visit them at 2551 Lindale Avenue South in Minneapolis. More details at eatlocalminnesota.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Brendan Hunter, during the local Minnesota Radio Hour. Got a special surprise. Doug Padgett makes his return to the airwaves on Wednesday. He'll be hosting the Day After Election Day show. We'll also hopefully check with him tomorrow. When you're hosting, Hunter, we might get him on for an interview. And I think we'll check in with him on election night as well, as I believe I heard he has over 100 Vote Common Good watch parties taking place around the country. That is unreal, 100 watch parties.
Yeah, he certainly put in his effort for this election.
Yeah, what are you doing to make the blue wave happen? Doug's done the work of about 1,000 people, yeah. I think. He's literally gone around the entire country, started on the East Coast. Now he's actually, I think he's flying back from L.A. and heading back to Minnesota today, but he'll be back on hosting on Wednesday here on AM 950. A lot of callers on the phone lines. Let's go ahead and run them kind of rapid-fire style here. Make sure you're to the point and quick so we have time to get to everyone on the phone lines. Let's first up go to Patrick in Apple Valley. He's one of our conservative callers, and he's going to give us some reasons why we should vote for the GOP. Patrick, hi there.
Hi there, Brett and Hunter. I sure will. First of all, there's one party that favors smaller and limited government, and there's another party that favors bigger and bigger government. Now, the bigger the government, the smaller the
city. Patrick, I'm going to have to let you go because your phone is going haywire there.
I swear that wasn't anything on my doing. I wanted to hear what he had to say.
Yeah. So, Patrick, hey, try again tomorrow here on AM 950. Hopefully we can hear with you there. Yeah. All of a sudden, you got into big government, small government. Then I think the big bad government started cutting into his phone
and clicking. New world order.
Yeah, I think it was some kind of giant conspiracy theory against Patrick in Apple Valley. I was interested to hear his point, though, but maybe we can get to him tomorrow. We do have a limit of one call per person, so Patrick, call on back tomorrow here on AM 950. You know, we always have some fun talking to you. But, yeah, you were talking about, I believe, the big government, small government thing. Is it necessarily big government versus small government if you're talking about, I don't know, regulating abortion, regulating LGBT rights? Doesn't strike me as being very small government. Let's go ahead to a couple other callers. We got our next in line. Let's go Nathan in Burnsville. Wants to talk about the 2nd District. Hi there, Nathan.
Hey, guys. Maybe I can do some justice for Patrick. I'm also a conservative voter here in the 2nd District. I'm also only 31 years old, so I'm a younger guy. I'm married with a little baby at home. Mm-hmm. And my point is that the tax cuts that Jason Lewis helped pass in the 2nd District, specifically, we don't have the final numbers as far as financial, what it's going to put in our pocket, but it's going to be somewhere around $2,300 or something in savings, I think we were looking at. And that is huge for a new young family. That is, you know, a vacation we can take, which will stimulate the economy. We can put that into our savings. We can... who doesn't want $2,300 extra dollars?
I didn't get $2,300 in mine. I got about, I think, $10 extra in my paycheck a week, or that I get twice a month. Hunter, did you get much of a pay increase?
No.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I grant you, maybe you did get that pay increase, and thank you very much for the call, Nathan, but I think most people saw, you know, maybe a $20 increase in their paycheck. Some people in Minnesota even saw increases in their taxes. And let's even bring up the fact that this is completely blowing the deficit out of whack.
Well, the main problem is not the money people, I forget what the caller's name was, but tax breaks like that. That was a ploy to get this larger tax plan passed because those tax cuts are temporary. But the tax cuts to the richest people are permanent.
Yeah.
So it's a way to rile up enthusiasm, but that's not permanent at all.
What if we
but
do
the
this?
Effects, I mean, of this tax cut are going to be felt for a long time.
You know what I just thought of as well? What if we do this, since I know Nathan's thrilled about those tax cuts, and hey, if he's getting $2,300 more in his paycheck, more power to him. I'd be thrilled about that as well.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be disappointed in that. What if we actually make these middle class and lower class tax cuts permanent, and in fact, maybe even cut them even more, while we raise upper income taxes?
Mm-hmm. Or the Kamala Harris plan to reverse the tax cuts and give back all of the money directly to the people of the lower and middle classes. And if you make less than $100,000 a year, you would receive, $3,000 to $6,000 per person if we did this?
Yeah, and of course I know someone might counter and say, well, why should the rich pay more taxes? Well, if you're going to cut taxes, at some point you're going to have to either cut spending or you're going to have to somehow find a way to lower the deficit, which means raising taxes on somebody or cutting spending. Now, if you're in the camp of cutting spending, well, then talk about what exact programs do you want to cut. Don't just say waste, fraud, and abuse. You have to be specific on those. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We are keeping Hunter busy on the phone lines. Let's go to our next caller. That's David in Shakopee. Hi there, David.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today? I love you guys.
Hey, yeah.
I'm just tired of hearing about big governments versus small government. It's nonsense. It's code words that don't mean what we're actually saying. What we're saying is intrusive government versus non-intrusive government. Mm-hmm. And which party is constantly intruding on our private lives and telling us how we should live? Which party is going, oh, no, those people are not real people. Those people aren't real people. Only you're real people, and only you get the rights. Who's constantly trying to take away our rights? Our right to vote, our right for everything. There's only one party that's actually non-intrusive, and it's not the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm. You know what's so, another?
These guys bring up big government versus small government. It's just nonsense. It's just another way for Republicans to lie about what the argument actually is.
You know, it's another thing, and thanks so much for the call, David. Another thing I brought up on my show a few weeks ago was this book written by former Republican Senator Dave, now I'm blanking on the Republican senator's name, but basically he was a former Republican senator in Minnesota, and he talked about, and he wrote this book called When Republicans Were Progressive, and his main point was, is that back in the 50s, 60s, and even into the 70s, the argument wasn't about between Democrats and Republicans, big government versus small government. It was more about who could run the more efficient government, which I think would be a much better conversation to have, because I'd much rather have a government that's efficient than just a small government. Small government does not necessarily mean you're going to have efficient government. 952-946-6205. Let's get one more call before the break. We got Rich in Minneapolis. Hey there, Rich.
Hi there, Brett. I haven't called in quite a while, but you know what? A couple of people inspired me by calling in. First of all, I want to see Nathan's tax returns. He's a mini Trump. And Jim called, and he asked that good old question, why on earth would anybody vote Republican? And I have a couple of reasons why. You know, when I talk to Republicans, they say, yeah, I know he's a liar, and he's lied millions of times. Yeah, I know he's a sexual assaulter by his own words. Yeah, I know he's a business fraud and a cheat. Yeah, I know he probably colluded with the Russians to get elected. Yeah, I know Putin has something on him. But I like his policies. Well, you're really good at shooting down all the policies, so I won't get into too many of them. But the one policy that makes me laugh is the drain the swamp one. Well, what that guy did, he drained the swamp of anything intelligent and replaced it with vertical scum. You know, this guy is just, and the Republicans all in general, all just pathetic. So, my point, the reason they vote for that guy, he all but stood up in front of the American people and he said, hey, you white, right-wing, fake Christian, fake constitutions, rotten to the core, racist pigs, I too am a white, right-wing, fake Christian, racist, rotten to the core, pig. That's it. This is tribal. This is obviously tribal. All 99.9% of the people that support him are white, and they're rabid. And it's simply tribal, because how can you be for policies that the Republican leadership wants to and always has wanted to take away Social Security and give that $2.7 trillion trust to Jimmy Dimon and the other investment bankers, the guys that should have been in jail for what they did in 2008. They want to give a $6,000 voucher to us old people to give to the private insurance companies. Let's see how far that would go. And the other stupidity, the wall. He stood up and said, I'm going to build a wall, and Mexico is going to pay for it. And from then after, forever after, he would get up and say, I'm going to build a wall, and who's going to pay for it? And you right-wing dopes shouted back, Mexico. Well, guess what, you idiots? You're going to pay for the wall, and so am I. If they just screwed you over for all the dumb policies that he has, it'd be fine. But you guys are screwing good people over, too.
All right. Hey, Rich, thanks for the call. Just we got to get into a break here. But, man, Rich, you were going off quite a bit. I like the rant.
So Gary called and goes, man, this guy is great.
That's awesome, Rich. Man, you kind of gave Gary a run for his money there. But, no, some good points to bring up. And I love the term. What was it? Vertical sewage or something like that? I kind of like that one. We might have to throw that into the queue or listen back and see what his exact wording was. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Up next, time for your calls, and I'm also going to talk about how gerrymandering could backfire for the Republicans tomorrow, next on AM 950.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car.
You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
Hello, humans. It's Ellie Krug with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many know that I have a diversity inclusion company, Human Inspiration Works, LLC. I want to share about a speaking event I'll be hosting on Monday, November 5th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Loft Literary Center in Minneapolis. I'll be giving my gray area thinking talk on how to be welcoming to others. I'd love for you to join me. Go to elliekrug.com and look at the Human is Human public events page for more. Please come and please tell others. See you then.
You know how it is with vacuum cleaners. You buy them, you break them, then you throw them away, right? Well, not necessarily. Often, fixing your vacuum can be cheaper than replacing it. Ever heard of A1 Vacuum in Roseville? They offer free estimates. So if you wish your vacuum worked like new again, drop by. A1 Vacuum is ready to help clean up your vacuum cleaner act. Find us at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316.
Let's think about customization presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Liberty Mutual customizes your auto insurance so you only pay for what you need. So why aren't more things in life customizable? Why isn't a burger cheaper when you ask for no onions? I don't want them. So shouldn't you deduct the price of the onions? Right? Otherwise, I'm paying for the onions, but I'm not receiving any onions.
Go to libertymutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.co. OP.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. A few more minutes left on the show. If you'd like to talk to us, 952-946-6205. We'll get back to calls in just a moment. But first up, want to talk about gerrymandering. That's, of course, the practice of, well, basically rigging your district so your party can win elections at a higher rate. So what happens every 10 years, of course, and I know a lot of listeners are familiar with this, every 10 years, districts are redrawn, and if a political party has control of both houses of the state legislature and the governor, they get to draw the districts. And this is what happened in 2010 when Republicans had a really big year where they won a number of state legislators and a number of governorships. They were able to gerrymander. Now, here's an example of how you gerrymander. Got to go briefly here and go quickly with this, but let's do a pretend scenario here. Let's say you have a state with 1,000 voters. And we'll make it nonpartisan too. Let's say we have among these 1,000 voters, we have two major political parties. We have the Vikings Party and the Packers Party. And there's 500 Vikings fans and 500 Packers fans in this state. So normally, you would think if this is a state that gets 10 congressional districts, you would have 100 voters per district, and generally you would think each district would be split about 50-50. But let's say you want to gerrymander this district, and let's say, because the Packers are evil, the Packers want to gerrymander, where they can pretty much guarantee themselves 8 congressional districts every cycle. So with the way they do this, again, this is a state with, let's say, 1,000 people, 500 Vikings fans, 500 Packers fans. What you would do is you would immediately concede 2 districts to the Vikings. You would do that by putting, let's say, 90 Viking fans, and then 10 token Packer fans in 2 of these districts. So after that, among the final 8 districts, you would have 320 Vikings fans left and 480 Packers fans. So roughly, if you divide those equally among the remaining 8 districts, you would end up with 60 Packer fans and 40 Vikings fans. So you would guarantee yourself 8 Packer districts and 2 Viking districts, even though the state is really split 50-50 between fans of the 2 teams, if that makes sense. So that's what Republicans did a lot in 2010, and to be fair, it's what Democrats did in the past too, in the 90s and the 2000s, which I'll talk about in just a moment, especially in North Carolina. But it can backfire because let's say if you have these 60-40 districts between Packers and Vikings fans, let's say in a friendly year for the Vikings, let's say five of those Packer fans switch allegiances and decide to vote for the Vikings. Well, the Packer fans still hang on because it stays 55-45 in those eight districts. But eventually you're going to reach a tipping point where if you have, let's say, 11 Packer fans that switch to the Vikings, all of a sudden, all eight of those districts, in addition to those two solid Vikings districts, all of a sudden switch over to the Vikings, if that makes sense. So eventually, I think what we're going to see tomorrow is possibly a tipping point where you could see like 40 or 50 Republican districts fall into Democratic hands because there are a lot of like plus 8, plus 9, and plus 10 Republican districts. And if enough people switch over from Republicans to Democrats, you could see a number of districts fall. So that's something to watch tomorrow, I think, where you could see a Democratic gain immediately go from like 40 seats all the way up to 80 or 90 if you kind of break that tipping point in terms of gerrymandering. So there is a way it could backfire, or if the wave is big enough against you, gerrymandering can completely backfire. Kind of had to do that rapid fire style, but we can talk more about that tomorrow on our election night coverage. Have time for, let's go to one more caller. We got Mary in Minneapolis. Hi there, Mary.
It's Marv, I think.
Oh, Marvy. Sorry, yeah. Sorry there, Marv. What's on your mind?
Well, I like that last caller we had, the vertical sewage and the term vertical sewage and tribal voting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to see tomorrow in elections across the country, this tribal mentality has been blown up in the Republican Party's face.
Hey, Marv, going to let you go just because your phone's kind of breaking up on us there. Unfortunately, had a couple of phone calls break up on us today. Let's go to our final caller. We got John in Minneapolis. Hi there, John.
Yes, I just wanted to comment on the Republican. They're really good at creating these phrases that really are misleading or don't mean anything. And the one of big government versus small government, is, if you examine it, is really ridiculous. Because if you have big government that's doing good things for the people, all the people, or at least the vast majority of the people, then it couldn't be too big. And if you have a small government but it's doing bad things for the people, the fascist governments really were very small governments. And if they did bad things for the people, it doesn't matter how small they are, they're still bad. So the real thing is we need good government, not big government, not small government.
Hey, John, I'm going to have to let you know just because we're at the end of the show, but good point to bring up. Kind of what I was saying, too. It's more about efficient government versus inefficient government. It's been Brett and Hunter filling in on AM 950. Tune in for election night tomorrow. Hunter and I hosting starting at 9 o'clock here on AM 950. The progressive voice of Minnesota. Go out and vote tomorrow.